Have you ever had a nightmare that was so vivid that you woke up in a sweat with your heart pounding and your mind racing and the adrenaline pumping? Maybe you dreamed that somebody was chasing you or that your life was in danger. Maybe you dreamed that something tragic had happened. And your body reacted because it was so real in your dream, your body reacted as if it really had happened. And then wasn't it so great when you woke up and you realized, oh, it's only a dream. Whew. Maybe that just washed over you multiple times. It was only a dream. Well, most of us have had an experience like that. It's not very pleasant, is it? It's not any fun to go through that kind of trauma, whether real or imagined. And certainly, none of us would ever consciously choose to scare ourselves that way. Or would we? You know, the fact is that we scare ourselves all the time, maybe to a lesser degree. We scare ourselves not when we're sleeping, but when we're awake. We conjure up all of these what-ifs and worst-case scenarios, and we worry and fret about what could happen. We even talk ourselves out of doing something that we know is good for us because, well, what if this happens or what if that happens? And we're really brilliant at imagining all sorts of nightmarish outcomes to whatever challenge we're going through. And so we tell ourselves such useful things as, I will never love again. I will never find another job. I am going to go broke. And then we take it even beyond that. I will be on the streets. I will be destitute. You know, it just grows and grows. And we may say, I will never be healthy again. Or even, sadly, I will never be happy. But we really are creating this sort of nightmarish situation, a nightmarish thought that we're holding in our minds. And even though fear can serve a useful purpose in motivating us to take action, when it becomes pervasive, when it becomes our go-to emotion in any situation, it's gone too far. We're giving it too much power. So when I was on my sabbatical in Oregon, I was with my sister. We went to the Oregon coast. And one morning at breakfast in the hotel, we began talking to this man, an older man, who was from San Francisco. And he told us that he was going to retire in a couple of months. And then he began talking about how much he loved the Oregon coast and specifically loved Newport, which is where we were at the time. And he said that when he retired, he had been planning on moving to Newport from San Francisco. And then he got very serious. And he said, but I'm having second thoughts about this now because they've never had a tsunami here. And that makes it more likely that it's going to happen. And my sister and I, you know, kind of shook our heads at this concern coming from a man who had lived almost 30 years in San Francisco, you know, the city of earthquakes. But nevertheless, we just kind of went along with it. Well, what became evident to us, and sort of the sad undertone of that, was that he was allowing fear to rob him of his dream. You know, the truth is, and we all know this, the majority of things that we fear never happen. Let me say that again. The majority of things that we fear never happen, but that doesn't keep us from worrying that they might. And that worry comes from a certain mindset. Actually, at the core of fear is a belief that we are separate from God. It's a belief that we're out here all alone, that we're defenseless human beings. If something unfortunate happens to us, there is no redeeming order or hope or grace. We're just going to be out here on our own. And so we better watch out. And we go to this way of thinking as our ego kind of pulls us in that direction. But it really is a belief that we're separate from God, and so all will be lost if this unfortunate occurrence, the dreaded situation, happens. And so this mindset changes us, and it changes how we relate to others. You know, in 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt said so brilliantly, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." Oh my goodness, such wise words for our age today as well. Because he knew that when we're in a place of fear, it brings out the lowest aspects of us, not the highest aspects of us. That is fear that breeds insecurity, aggression, violence, injustice, desperation. Truly, it is fear that fuels man's inhumanity to man. You look out in our world right now, where you see injustice happening, things that don't make a lot of sense, where violence is occurring. It's all springing from this sense of fear. But here's the thing. Fear doesn't have any power. Fear doesn't even really exist as a thing. It is nothing more than our thoughts. And in the same way that we can wake up from a nightmare, we can wake up from our fear. You know, the acronym is for fear is false evidence appearing real. We've all heard that before. False evidence, so false evidence appearing real. It's an illusion. And yet we give it so much of our time and energy. So how do we wake up so that we notice what we're doing to ourselves? Well, we can begin by distinguishing between when fear is working for us and when fear is working against us. So fear is working for us when it is prompting us to be wiser and more discerning about a decision or an action that we're going to take. So fear can, we would say fear keeps us from walking out in front of a car. It keeps us from making rash decisions. It keeps us from taking unnecessary risks. But fear begins working against us as it robs us of our self-confidence, of our enthusiasm for life, of our sense of the grandness. As we begin, we instead of stepping out into the world of possibilities and all that we can be, we begin to shrink from life. And so this is when we begin to know that now fear is working against us. And our time and our lives are too precious to let that be so. So I learned a very interesting lesson about fear on my way home from my sabbatical. So I was catching a plane from Portland, Oregon, that was going to go through Chicago, Midway Airport, and then come into Norfolk. So the plane was going to leave Portland at approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Arrive at Chicago Midway Airport at, I can't remember when it arrived, but then it would leave at 9:55 p.m. so that I could arrive in Norfolk at 1 in the morning. A perfectly laid plan. And it was with the idea that I would arrive at 1 in the morning on Saturday, last Saturday, so that I could be here in time for the 10 o'clock rehearsal for our All Together Now multi-generational service the next day. Well, you can guess what happened. So my sister and I drive up to Portland from Newport, a three-hour drive. We get there. My sister's plane is on time. Off she goes. My plane from Portland is delayed an hour and a half. I'm getting all these messages. You will not make your connection. You know, you need to reschedule. And so, you know this story. You've probably all been through it. Think, oh, okay, well, I'll just get another flight. Right? There was no other flight. So if I miss that connection, I wouldn't be able to get into Norfolk until at least 5 p.m. on Saturday. So, you know, this was very concerning to me. I was not a happy person. And I began to feel filled with fear and with worry and not just a little bit of frustration. So as I was waiting this out to get on the plane, I decided and I went to the gate and I said, you know what? I'm just gonna take the risk here. That maybe by some miracle, That plane in Chicago will also be delayed, and maybe I'll make it in okay to Norfolk. All the people said, no, it's not going to happen. You're going to land at 10:20. That plane leaves at 9:55, etc. So I text Richard. And Richard sends me this text that says, I see you arriving on time tonight. I was like, well, okay then, okay then. Actually, the thought I had is, Richard knows something I don't. So I'm on the plane, it's over a four-hour flight, and I'm feeling really peaceful. I'm able to take a nap. I realized that there is the possibility I could be sleeping in Midway Airport that night without a clear way to get home the next day. But you know what? Richard said it was going to be, I was going to make it. So anyway, we landed at Midway Airport. Sure enough, 10:20, everybody on the plane's checking their phones and seeing that their connections have already left. And I'm looking on my phone and it says 9:55, still showing that departure time for the next flight. I text Richard again and he says, don't worry, you'll make it. Okay, so I get off the plane, run down to the next gate, and lo and behold, everyone was standing around because that flight was delayed. It was delayed over an hour. And I got on the plane, made it home at 3 a.m., and got here by 10 for the rehearsal. Now, that is a great story. I think that's a great story. But you might ask, would that have been a great story if I had missed my connection? Yes, because here was my learning around it. That because I had given up my fear, I had a very peaceful, lovely flight. I knew that things were going to be okay. I did not have that anxiety and worry the whole trip out there. And even though in this particular case, I kind of had to borrow faith from Richard, what I realized is what I needed in that situation was not fear, it was faith. Because when I got off the plane, had I learned that I'd missed my connection, fear wasn't going to do me any good at all, was it? Fear doesn't do you any good at all when the dreaded situation comes to pass. What you need then is action. What you need then is to do something, to line up what you're going to do. All that time in between there, when you're in fear, is complete waste of time and energy. We should all just say that to ourselves. I am not going to expend my precious time and energy on these fearful thoughts. So we know that we can overcome fear through faith, and certainly that's what the Bible tells us. Did you know that the words fear not, the phrase fear not, appears in the Bible almost 80 times? It's in the Hebrew Bible and the Christian Bible, or we call the Old and the New Testament. It comes through as a message in dreams and visions. It's spoken by angels, it's spoken by prophets, and of course it's spoken by our master teacher, Jesus. So here are a few of the scriptures that include that phrase from Isaiah. Fear not, for I am with you. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I will help you. From 1 Chronicles, be strong and of courage and do it. Fear not, be not dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. And finally, my favorite from Luke, from Jesus, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.